You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine conflict. London reporting. Ukraine kills almost 50 elite troops traveling to Kyiv front. The story. Ukrainian troops have likely pinned down some of Russia's elite soldiers in Donetsk, preventing them from redeploying to a key part of the front line, according to a prominent U.S. think tank. Fog of war. Everything is here is a moving story, but in any event, Ukraine is on the offense here, not in the defense. In the harvest moon, looking at the end of the year and a very likely third year of war, I welcome my colleague, Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired, an artilleryman, CBS News, visiting Professor Dickinson College, and the CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. Jeff, the question of Ukraine's counteroffensive is in the news all the time. There are always qualifications about what did you expect, where is it going, speed up. But what we have in this report from London is that the Ukrainians are taking advantage to what I presume is really good intelligence, and also ability to strike what they're shooting at with very good location. That would be either artillery or missiles. What else is significant about the ability to strike an elite unit as it's redeploying to the front line? Good evening to you, Jeff.
Good evening to you, John. I think what's significant is obviously this is a not an insignificant tactical event, but the operational implications may be very, very significant. And that is that word redeploying, because what's occurring to my mind is generally three axes of advance by the Ukraine up in the north around the Kharkiv area, which is more of a holding action against possibly even Russian offensive. Some success there in the Donbas region around Bakhmut, which I think is a fixing operation or economy of force operation. And it seems they're enjoying more success than due south in Zaporizhia around the town of Robotin, which they recently secured, and the Russians have admitted that, moving in the direction of Melitopol and the Sea of Azov, which if they achieve that, would split that land bridge we've talked so much about in these weeks, John, between Russia proper and Crimea. So as they enjoy that success in the south, the Russians are trying to redeploy laterally to meet that particular tactical success to make sure it doesn't become an operational success. So the Ukrainians' ability to identify Russian units that are trying to move laterally, identify them on the move, fix their location, quickly pass that to a employment platform, air, missile, whatever, artillery, engage and take that out, obviously is devastating to Russian forces, but also deprives Russian forces of that necessary ability to rapidly redeploy forces to meet what seems to be at least tactical success on the part of the Ukrainians in the south, which are trying to translate now into operational success.
The weapons, Jeff, let us speak of the flow of material that's to Ukraine these last weeks and months. I recall early on this year, I believe, we were talking about bridging equipment showing up in a shipment from the DOD to Ukraine. And at the time, the counteroffensive had not started, and we speculated what this is for. It's obvious now they have to cross rivers. However, what I do not remember, and this is a criticism that is generally applied not to Ukraine but to NATO, is a system or thinking about crossing minefields or clearing minefields. You have experience of this in the U.S. Army. Is there some system that matches the ability of Russia to lay a minefield with artillery so that lots of projectiles hit a field after firing from a distance. You don't have to send people in. Do we have some way to roll that back, or is there development that permits Ukraine to roll back the minefields? I understand they're a major obstacle.
Exactly right, John. I'm bemused by the fact that while we were talking about that bridging, I don't recall in the early months of 2023 seeing a lot of information about mine clearing being part of those mill aid packages. It wasn't until we got into late May, June, it seemed to me, we started seeing that appear. And that should have been logical if one watched the Russians as we intently as we seem to be, as they built this Rovan line, that in fact mine clearing was going to be essential. To the best of my knowledge, to create wide channels through minefields is a technology we don't have, and actually is one of the things we should learn from this war and ought to have a Manhattan Project on how to do that. My experience, of course, was in the desert with minefields, but that allows you to maneuver around the minefields much more easily. Here, you're channelized by terrain, number one. Number two, you're also at a disadvantage because the battlefield is much more transparent due to drones. And number three, since the Russians are on the defensive, as you slow down, channelize your forces through the narrow areas that existing technology to clear minefields allow you to do, then you're picked up by those sensors and then engaged by artillery or helicopters. And that's what really causes, I think, so much of the casualties for the Ukrainians and perhaps the slow pace in some areas of the offensive. But it doesn't seem we thought this through in terms of bridging and mine clearing, nor have we yet developed in the West, at least, the technology to rapidly clear minefields. So the ability on both sides to employ minefields quickly using scattable mines from aircraft or from artillery is, in technological terms, I think has far outpaced our ability to clear those in a wide fashion, allowing for heavy armored offensives to move quickly.
A tactical puzzle for me, Jav. It is repeated all the time that Ukraine's doing very well, even despite the fact that it doesn't have air superiority. Would air superiority make a difference in clearing minefields, the ability to strike and dominate the skies?
It would only help in the terms of it would reduce the Russian potential counter battery. And that's one thing the Russians are complaining about right now, is we haven't got enough counter battery. Now, that's counter battery included sensors, radars, drones, et cetera, to pick up targets, and then actual guns and ammunition to engage it. So air could be useful against that. Number two, air could be very useful in keeping down Russia's ability to use their air, whether that's fixed wing or rotary wing aircraft. But in terms of the physical clearing of a minefield, I don't know of any technology associated with aircraft, perhaps except for sensing where the mines are at, the additional air would be helpful for.
The doubts about the Ukrainian counteroffensive, they're everywhere now. It's not just having to quote General Milley. It's reports of meetings on the Polish-Ukrainian border between senior officers to talk about the Ukrainian battle plan. As I understand it, Jeff, as the counteroffensive started, Ukraine committed itself to three fronts, not one front, and the forces were distributed fairly equally between the three, the north, the center, and the south. The criticism, as I understand it, is that the U.S. style preferred one focus and the two others as feints, maybe. And now the U.S. is asking Ukraine to concentrate on one battlefront, and I'm presuming that would be Zaporizhia Oblast, to drive to the Sea of Azov. Are those criticisms sharp, given the conditions of the minefields and the preparation of the Russians? Is that going to answer the slowness that seems to be the political complaint about the counteroffensive?
Well, it may be, but it's all, I think, to address domestic expectations. I think we'd raised the expectation in the West that the Ukrainians, with all our new kit, would move very swiftly. And I talked to the Ukrainians about it, as we saw the foreign minister make some pretty striking rebuttal comments. This is becoming increasingly irritating to the Ukrainians, who say, hey, it's our guys who are fighting and dying. You're the people sitting in the grandstands watching this war unfold. That's just a trifle unfair, number one. Number two, we seem to try to, as we did, frankly, in other places like Iraq and Afghanistan, want to make the Ukrainian army into the American army. And that will never happen. They don't have the tools, particularly in terms of aircraft, that we enjoyed air superiority throughout the offensive that we have conducted. They don't have the troops in terms of the, frankly, the quality of the troops. They're a combination of professional as well as a National Guard and draftee forces that haven't had as much training as our forces did when we went into heavy combat. The terrain is quite different. I mean, I maneuvered in the desert, which enhances and fast-moving, heavy mechanized operations. They're in the areas of heavy mud, forest, and whatever. And they don't have the time. They don't have the time to develop those forces. So to try to impose our doctrine on their forces is just inappropriate. And I think also this criticism is becoming more and more irritating. They are shaping a doctrine which is uniquely Ukrainian based on the character of the war and all those other factors that I just mentioned. And I also used to point out to Western audiences, at the pace of this offensive right now, after a couple of months, is about where Allied forces were after they landed at Normandy. We didn't see a breakout in the fast-moving, as you and I know, movement across northern France in the fall of 1944 until you got to August or September, several months after the landings.
Yes, I was just reading over Normandy again as an example. It's good that you point to that. The frustration was obvious, so much so they talked about replacing not only Montgomery, but Eisenhower because of the holdup at Caen. But the Germans understood, pour everything into Caen and stop the Allies from pivoting towards Paris. I imagine the Russians are reading our criticism and allowing for it. So let's turn to the Russians' situation right now in Ukraine and in Russia. Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman. He is CBS News. He is also visiting professor at Dickinson College in the great state of Pennsylvania and the CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. I'm John Bowne.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.